we have a very special service this morning. And what that involves is a time of remembering the great things that God has done in 2006. It's not that we want to focus on that which is behind. Certainly we have scriptural admonition not to do those things. But it is good to take those memorials of the things that of God's goodness and things, remembrances of His works. The psalmist prays and cries out, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men." And so this morning, that's what we want to do. We want to take a time and have a service in which we acknowledge His goodness this year. So, and beginning our time together, we want to ask some of you to as the Lord leads you, to share things that have happened this past year that you're thankful for. But to start that off, we have a video presentation or a PowerPoint presentation that will bless you as you see and remember some of the things that God has done with us this year.
Thank you. moment in the middle is how we will be known. Cause what defines us can be found within a line. Finding reason for our time. And the years go by, they seem to fly. They'll all be over soon. Of how we lived in the line between the two. The line between the two. Will I walk straight? Will I be true? Will I finish strong? Will I stand up for the moment when I could right or wrong? Because the legacy we leave will never change. It's how we spend our days. And the years go by, they seem to fly. They'll all be over soon. When our life is done, did we live and love the way we wanted to? Cause every day that we leave behind goes on. Tell the truth of how we lived in the line between the two. Well, I could live a life for just myself. Well, I could live a life for someone else. But I live and die just to hear you say, well done, my son, come and be with me. And the years go by, they seem to fly. They'll all be over soon. When our life is done, did we live in love the way we wanted to? Cause every day that we leave behind goes on to tell the truth of how we lived in the line between the two.
A lot of activity. God has done many great and wonderful things, and we just want to thank Him. We want to thank Him for how He has worked in the hearts and lives of His people, how He has ministered through each one of you. And we didn't have pictures of all of it, but we did the best we could to give a view here and there and use the pictures that we had, but we're so grateful to each one of you for the manner in which you serve and share your life at Grace Bible Church. At this time, what we want to do is, Steve, are you ready for me? Okay. We have a time where we want to have some sharing, giving God thanks. Specifically, we want to thank Him for this past year. You may have some memories or some things that were highlights for you that happened in our church body, and we want to give God the praise. So, is there someone? I'm going to break the ice here.
Oh, come on.
I'm a good icebreaker. One thing that thrilled my heart this year was the increase in our small group size. It's not really a small group anymore. And at the beginning of this year, last time, I guess about 365 days ago, it was often just Chris and I and maybe Katrina or the Hagers, Katrina and the McClungs, and we were struggling to keep even just a handful of people coming every week. But now, as of Friday, we had, probably 17, 18 people coming regularly for the last couple of weeks. We're now so big that we have to multiply. At first, we were calling it a division of the group, and I was corrected on Friday and told, no, Dave, this is a multiplication of the group. And so we are branching out. This is partly a big praise to the Lord and partly an informational statement to you all. This next Wednesday at Jim and Lois Tyler's place, where are they? They're going to be hosting a group, and the Hagers will be there. Mrs. Pendleton will be there, and there should be a couple others there. Our group will still continue to meet on Friday nights at 7. Theirs starts at 7 on Wednesday. There will also be a group, at least tentatively anyway, at Shiloh Foster's place out in Reedville, for any of you who are living out that direction. It may be more geographically reasonable for you. And that, at this point, is planned for Thursday. This next Thursday and Friday, though, of course, go to the conference. The Shiloh's group will start meeting the week after that. But praise the Lord for the size of our groups, not because of the numbers, that's nothing, but simply because we see people growing, we see people enjoying the fellowship together, we see people abiding in the vine through these small groups.
Thank you. I know that the Tyler group on Wednesday is seriously considered a move to Thursday, so that may be up. There may be a group on Thursday evening as well.
Some of you may know this already, but this is a kind of a formal announcement. My little family is going to be relocated, so we're actually out of here in a couple of weeks. I accepted a new job in Indianapolis, and we'll be moving up there, and the Lord opened the door for us there, and it was obviously His will for us to go there. So it's with a saddened heart that I say farewell to you, but not goodbye forever. Because I know how it is. This world is very small, and I have moved around a lot all my life and always run into people I've known all my life anywhere. So this is more of a I'll see you later, more of a maybe I'm like going off to school or something. I don't know. But it's kind of like that. See it that way. You know, we'll be back here. My mom and dad are going to still be here in the area, so that'll obviously keep me coming here every so often. So, and this is kind of something that's been rolling and going for a long time, but it's the door had finally opened for us, and there's some opportunities there for my wife, especially for teaching and some other things, and some circumstances and family there that will keep us going there, and just pray for us about potential fears that I have about my new job, and also just leaving my comfort, you know, when we talk about faith, you know, it's you got to take that step for the waters to part. You can't just look at the water and go, well, God, I'm really happy over here on this dry land. You know, you've got to take the step. So this is one of those things where I can feel that my faith has grown a lot, and I've been praying for a lot more faith to just take this step. So I'd appreciate your prayers with that and with my new job and everything and all the apprehensions I have. And other than that, we'll be packing up and leaving on February 15th. And so if you guys want to help us load the U-Haul, that'd be great. You know, there's, I don't know how many people are in here, maybe 80 or so. I think we got about 80 boxes, so that'd be kind of cool. I had an idea for a while that I have, you know, a few more days here. I was thinking, well, maybe I'll just bring one box every day to work and use my company's UPS account and ship the boxes. Figured there was something wrong with that, so I decided not to do that. So anyway, if you are willing to, just let me know. And if you want to discuss some of the details with me about our move and what it all entails, just poke me on the shoulder and I'll talk to you about it. But my last Sunday, we actually have two more Sundays. It'll be, I think it's the 5th and then the 11th, if I'm counting right. So we have about two more Sundays here. So. It's a big change for us. That Scotia's hometown is Indianapolis, so We actually have some family there and some connections there that are great. And the way the job opened up for me was definitely God's will with the connections there. So we'll see what happens. And, you know, who knows? Like the Smiths, you know, they kind of came and left and came and left. And, you know, they may come back. We may come back. So this will always be my home church. I've lived here longer than I've ever lived anywhere. So I look forward to seeing you guys again this year sometime. So just keep this in your prayers. And, you know, I'm sure you guys won't take us off the email list, will you?
Oh, no.
The day we leave, you're just going to take us off, aren't you?
We're still figuring out ways to get you back already.
So we'll be getting the emails, and I'm sure I'll be replying and sending something out every once in a while. So we'll keep in touch. So.
Hello. A lot of things from last year stand out to me. A couple of things specifically. Last year, some of us men met and read through the Bible in a year. And there's many, many things that, you know, every time you read through, every time you read something, everything, you always learn something new. There's just a couple of things I want to briefly share with you that I was, you know, convicted of and that I learned that have kind of dwelt with me. And the first one was in Genesis 25, whenever Jacob and Esau went to their father for the blessing, and Isaac had spoken to Jacob, you know, hey, he cheated his brother out of his birthright. And I know there's a lot of lessons in this, but one of the things that I came out of it was the permanency in words, that once Isaac spoke to Jacob, it was done. And I know a lot of the times whenever we speak, there's not, we can't take things back. And I don't understand the full concept behind, you know, what he told Jacob, and he couldn't take it back and give to Esau. But there does seem to be a permanency of words, and that carried with me throughout the rest of the year. I'm still working on that. I'm just saying I don't have it solved, but it did kind of convict me and to say, hey, listen, before you talk, think about what you're saying. Another thing was in Exodus, whenever God wanted the Israelites to build a tabernacle, the specific words that he said, I would like for you to build a tabernacle that I may dwell with you. And along those same lines also, God just wants to be with us in whatever we do in our daily lives throughout the year. Every time we need to keep him in focus, and we need to think about, you know, everything he does, it's for us, and he wants to dwell with us. So those are just a couple of things that came in pretty quick. I mean, we started in Genesis in January 1st and, you know, went through everything. So by Exodus 25, I was already, man, you know. So what else am I going to counter? But those are the two main things that immediately spoke out, and things that, you know, that I was dwelling on for the rest of the year. So the word of, definitely I would encourage you, you know, I appreciate the men's group on Tuesday morning that we met every Tuesday morning. And all the things that we were able to share and learn, you know, reading through the Bible that you can learn even on your own. It's just amazing. So I would encourage you to come Wednesday mornings to see what we can get out this year. And it's not only so much what we learn, it's just the camaraderie and the, you know, the getting together. And I don't like the waking up, but it's worth it. You know? I don't have very far to go. I live down here at the bottom of the parking lot, so, and I'm the one that shows up late. So another thing is I had the opportunity this year to travel to Turkey and to visit the Maddoxes, and I really appreciate that. And just the education alone that I came out of, and the history that's in Turkey, and the things that are learned, and the fun that I had with Jerry's family and getting to know them and getting to know the family church there. I mean, there's people that, you know, I know that any time I can go to Turkey, you know, I have somewhere to go. And the people from Western Turkey, along with Eastern Turkey, even as far north as a town called Erzurum, just probably about 3 hours west of Mount Ararat. And the landscaping is amazing. The culture was amazing. I got, you know, confused several times. I was either a Kurd or a Turk. I looked a little different. I grew out my beard and everything else, so I fit in. But, you know, it was a very interesting. It was very educational. It was encouraging. And I came out of that trip learning more than, you know, I could have came out of with. And another thing, more here at the in the church. This year, we started with, along with Teresa Silguero and Joy and Dewey Jackson, we leaders of the high school group here for our church. And for me, I'm not really good with, I'm better one-on-one. I'm not really 100% or very good at, you know, teaching in the sense of in a class or speaking a lot. But along with that, and along with getting to know all the high school kids and getting to know the other leaders, when we come to church, we can see personalities, and we come and go, and we can hide, and we can leave. But once you start spending time with people and more time, you start to see through the personality and get to know the character. And this is where the relationships start to build, and this is where we get to know each other. And the more intimate we get to know each other, the better we're able to pray for each other, and the more detailed we come with each other, and the more intimate we come. I mean, that's just the way it is. And I want to thank Teresa and Dewey and Joy for tolerating and helping and working along with me and all the kids. And I know the kids probably going to be shy about saying anything, so I'm going to have all the high school kids stand up if they're in here. And if you guys want to teach these kids, you're going to have to teach yourself before you teach them, because you're not going to teach them anything they don't already know. They're very well versed. They come up in Awana. A bunch of them come up in the Awana, and they know more. They memorize more verses than you already know anyway. So they're going to, you're going to have to. I want all the kids to stand up, please. High school kids, if you would stand up.
There you go.
Alexander. Yeah, this is just some of them. We have a total group of about 11 or 12. And not only do you get to know them, but they get to know you. And they get scary sometimes, because then once they get to know you, then, it's just part of knowing each other and everything is going on. So I want to thank you guys, this group, everything that they do. We've always had a lot of fun everywhere we go. They're good kids, we're challenged. So I'd like to challenge you to get involved this year and see who you can get to know. Thank you all very much.
I hate microphones. I have a built-in one, so I don't. Of course, for me, the biggest thing this year and the biggest blessing was Family Fiesta. And I think the two things I remember about that the most, one was over at the Magamias at our work night. And that was, how many people were there? 80 or so? I don't know. And when you had that many people together working on all the things we had for the games, all the boards, and if you weren't there, it's really hard to describe. I think we need a film crew. Maybe next year, if we do that again, we need a film crew. But then the other thing that made an impression on me, I'd say a thunderous impression, was the so-called war room. Now, I've never seen anything so meticulously planned in my life. And I've been in service, I've been everywhere. All I know is, if you had been up there and you saw the plans that were spread across a whole room. How many did you have up there? This Tony, by the way, is one. I understand President Bush is contacting him. Tony's going to plan the way that we can handle Iraq the best. And so he has all those plans. And I guarantee if you ever need anything planned, Tony is the man to see. So, and I really am thankful to the Lord for the blessing of Family Fiesta.
It is exciting, that model for combining the five-day clubs with the Family Fiesta is being adopted by CEF and used, and so it was a huge thing, an amazing thing, and that happened last year. Someone else? Got time for maybe one, maybe two more if it's quick.
I wanted to echo what James said about the involvement with the youth in this church. If anybody is looking for a place to work with kids, you found it. And I also wanted to say, when I told people from other churches that we had over 93% participation in Family Fiesta, they didn't believe it. And I said, you can go out and you can look at 80 people working, and that's a pretty good percentage right there. plus all the ones behind the scenes that, that people didn't see. And I want to keep building on that. And by the way, on Awana, at least on Sunday night, we're hitting closer to 40 now and still growing. We have the Bring a Friend Night once a month, and a lot of the kids are doing that, and some of the kids are returning. So it is growing, and it is reaching kids for Christ. And I just wanted to thank the church for the support, and especially thank all the workers that work in Awana, because they have their hearts truly set right.
Well, this is time of praise, and I wanted just to remind us of a praise that's in the Word of God. Our praise really is inadequate for a time like this. 2006 was a year of change, of gain, of loss. In 2007, we don't know what it holds, but we know who holds 2007. That's the important thing. We've been studying the life of David, and David in 1 Chronicles 29, verses 10 and through 14, said something I just want to share with us. So David blessed the Lord in the sight of all the assembly. David said, "Blessed are you, O Lord, God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. Indeed, everything that is in the heavens and on the earth, yours is the dominion, O Lord, and you exalt yourself as head over all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all, and in your hand is power and might, and it lies in your hand to make great and to strengthen everyone." And then he goes down and he says, "O Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, our fathers, preserve this forever in the intentions of the heart of thy people and direct their heart to thee." And I think the greatest prayer we have is not to forget what God has done, but that our hearts would be directed to him. And as a board, and I know for one another, we desire their hearts to be directed to him. Whatever comes, whatever is given, whatever is taken, let's direct our hearts to him. Amen.
Well, thank you. Thank you for sharing. And we need to hold those memorials before the Lord of his goodness, and mindful always that his glory is our pursuit, that he has put us here, that we're his workmanship, that it's his purpose for us as his people to glorify him. And so we want to take his heart, his mind, his perspective for 2007 as we make the turn and look at this new year coming up. I do want to say and express to you from the bottom of my heart, I'll just share with you a little bit, and Lori can kick me if I get out of line here. But last Sunday when she couldn't make it to church and I went home, she wept. And because she wanted to be here. And I thought about that for a little while, and how many different situations I have known where pastors' wives were often looking for some place to hide. But not so with Lori. And what I mean by that is that your love for her and for me and for us as pastors and leaders in this church is truly a wonderful thing. And we want you to know how much we appreciate you and how much we appreciate the spirit that's in this church, the care that you have, ever since I've known you, have shown toward people, and the expressions of concern for Lori last week with her situation, her headaches and everything, were truly amazing and encouraging beyond what I can possibly describe. And so I just wanted to let you know how much we appreciate those things. Yes. Yes.
I was just standing up here watching and listening to all this stuff, and I just thought I would just ask y'all to pray for leadership for this church, because I've been around several churches here recently in the last few years, and I want to tell you that this church that we have here, this assembly, is honored by leaders that believe in God, that follow the Bible, and that teach the whole counsel of God. And we need to be praying for these men that are leading this church to for their protection and from temptation and protection from evil, and that they would stay close to God and that they would draw closer to God, because that's what protects us, is the teaching that we're receiving from these awesome men. And so I just wanted to bring that up, because that's important.
Thank you. He came down from the loft there, so there's no way that I wasn't going to let him come up. And so, well, let me just share a few things with you in closing here. We're looking at Journey into 2000, and we have a wonderful time to anticipate the wonderful and great, wonderful things that God will do this year. We're putting 2006 behind us. We've got pleasant memories there, and as you know, we've had our losses and many different things that we've experienced, but God has been good and faithful to us, and we're very thankful. I was just looking at 3 John verse 2. It says, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, in good health, just as your soul prospers." I thought that's a good passage for the beginning of the new year. And it, what it does for us is it gives us a model in Scripture where it's appropriate to pray for your prosperity, for things to go well for you. Not just the spiritual things, but John is speaking of their work, their agenda there for like a new year. And he prays request for prosperity or prospering. And basically it comes from a word that means help along the road. It's the idea of back then when they would travel and things were rough until they had the Roman roads. Traveling was difficult, but you would pray for safety and for that things would go well on the journey and the succeeding of the business affairs that were involved. And so that would have been the first century mindset. But basically it's the idea of success in the works of your hands and in the plans of your life. And so it's a good prayer. It would be a good start for us as we begin the new year and think about some of these things. So we might ask ourselves the question as to how it is that we might have success, and I'm talking about success in the biblical sense in 2007, and that which will be success that carries beyond is eternal in that sense. And I couldn't help but think of maybe a illustration that you have seen or heard before, but you know how the little child is coaxed by the parent to perhaps jump for the first time into the pool by the side, and his father's there with his strong arms and encouraging the child to take that step. And in many ways, that's the life of faith. God is constantly coaxing and coaching us as His people to take that leap, to take that step into our Father's arms, to trust Him in these areas that maybe are unknown and uncharted territory. And I think of the child, if you can just imagine this little toddler, or just a little bit older maybe, and he jumps in that pool into his Father's arms for the first time, and then he can't stop him. He wants to do it over and over and over again because it's thrilling and there's a joy and pleasure in it. And that's what the Christian life is like, it should be like. As we trust God, as we take that step, as we move toward those things that He has set before us, there should be great pleasure and joy in that service. In Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 11, the Apostle Paul prays, "For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may have a walk that is worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." Now, I've got three quick principles, quick things for us here to think about as we go into this new year.
And two of them specifically come from this verse. The idea of increasing in knowledge of God, and basically what our brother David just shared here, is that it's needful for us to increase. And that simply means to grow, or for there to be a growth in our knowledge or our understanding of Him, our growth in our relationship with the Lord God. And so knowledge of God is one of the things that we want to seek out and seek for in our walk in 2007. Growing in knowledge of the Father. Growing in knowledge of the Father is essential for God's people. It's necessary for us. And anything that God might do that would be God's doing and not our doing, not people's doing, and not the messes that we often make, will involve a focus in our journey on growing and increasing in the knowledge of God. And so the scripture, I think of J.I. Packer that said, a little knowledge of God is worth more than a great deal of knowledge about God. Isn't that true? We need to know Him, to know God, to have relationship with Him is the difference between whether we play church or whether we're down to business here as God's people. Whether there's life here or whether there's the hypocrisy and things that often run in our lives, it's directly related to that relationship with Him. So knowledge of God is of great value. Now, we can't have knowledge of God unless we take what He has revealed to us, those things that He has given to us to present Himself, to reveal those things about Himself. The Scripture tells us, the Bible tells us, the Apostle Paul taught that all Scripture is God-breathed. It's inspired by God, given by Him. It's His thinking. It's His thoughts. It's His intention for us. And to know Him, we must know His Word. And it's useful for teaching, for rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. You get the picture? When we go on our journey through 2007, we must go being equipped by God's Word for His service. Otherwise, we miss the eternal things. We miss the value of those things which God has placed before us. But His principles, those things which sometimes hurt us, correct us, rebuke us, instruct us in righteousness, are meant for our good. And so we must be students of God's Word. We must learn and be ever increasing in a growing knowledge of God and who He is. Along with that, it is A.W. Tozer that gave warning to the church. The decline of the knowledge of the holy has brought on our troubles. Same idea here, a lack of knowing God and knowing who He is. A rediscovery of the majesty of God will go a long way toward curing them. It is impossible to keep our moral practices sound and our inward attitudes right while our idea of God is erroneous and inadequate. If we would bring back spiritual power to our lives, we must begin to think of God more nearly as He is. The heaviest obligation lying upon the church today is to purify and elevate her concept of God until it is once more worthy of Him and of her. As Grace Bible Church, we want to elevate God. We want to take that heavy obligation that we have as God's people, to elevate His concept so that when people look upon us, they know that God, His presence has been here, that He has been at work in the midst of His people. And that is revealed in the knowledge of God when people have the knowledge of God. Along with that, Andrew Murray had this to say, nothing but the knowledge of God as the Holy One will make us holy. And how we are to obtain that knowledge of God except in the inner chamber in our private place of prayer. It is the thing utterly impossible unless we take time and allow the holiness of God to shine upon us. Now this is essential. Prayer. The study of God's Word, they're not simply academic things that we walk through, but they're the life source It's drawing near to God and knowing His holiness because we've been in His presence. We have seen Him for who He is, the excellency of the quality of His character. It's essential and needful for God's people. And oftentimes we get so busy and distracted that we forget our time with Him. We forget how essential it is that faith of necessity requires prayer because we're acknowledging our dependence upon Him, on the one alone who is our Savior and who is able to take us to the places where we need to go and where He's called us to go. We need that perspective that to draw near to Him. I think we need to grow. We need to grow as God's people, as prayer warriors. Pray for these young people. They're the generation coming up. If we don't pass it on to them, then we're dead. We die. The second generation is there. And what we do in regard to training them and raising them up in the Word and nurturing them, it depends on the future propagation of the gospel in the United States of America and in this area and wherever God takes them. It's necessary for us to ground them in the Word and ground them in a relationship with Him. Andrew Murray says, "How can any man on earth obtain intimate knowledge of another man of remarkable wisdom if he does not associate with him and place himself under his influence?" How much influence, how much time with the Lord are you spending? And how can God Himself sanctify us if we do not take time to be brought under the power of the glory of His holiness? Nowhere can we get to know the holiness of God and come under its influence and power except in the inner chamber. It has been well said, no man can expect to make progress in holiness who is not often and long alone with God. How is your time alone with God? 2007, and the fruit that is born in our lives will be dependent upon the focus that we keep upon our relationship with God. We need Him. We can't function without Him. And so we must draw near. Secondly, we are to feed. Let's see, are we stuck here? Let me go on. A couple of other things to say in this regard. We are to feed upon the will of the Father. Did that slide show up? Okay. Jesus Christ said there, back to Colossians chapter 1, Jesus said, or Paul taught that we are to increase the knowledge of God, but we're also to be filled with a knowledge of His will. Okay? So in our journey, we might learn those things from the Lord Jesus. Jesus said, "My food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to accomplish His work." Now, I want to remind you of the context of this. The Lord Jesus was ministering to the Samaritans. The disciples were there, and they don't like the Samaritans. They're not the kind of people that they wanted to hang out with. But Jesus was there, and as they looked out, and they were bringing Jesus food, and they knew that Jesus needed to drink water and He needed to eat food to physically survive His physical human body. But Jesus looked at them as those Samaritans that they didn't care a thing about began to gather around Him, and He said, "My food is to do the will of Him who sent me." Now, I pray that we as God's people might have that kind of focus on those that need to know the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that the Lord Jesus clearly teaches us that we're to look to those Samaritans, to those that are outside there, and to look in terms of, now, get the reality of what Jesus is saying. We are to find our satisfaction in God's will. And according to the context of what's taking place there, that will was that the gospel, that the word of life would be given to those stinky Samaritans that we don't even like. That's the reality. That's the lesson that Jesus taught in such a powerful way. And I think that we need to keep those things in mind. It astounds me that this church, in one evangelistic effort, that 120 children came to know the Lord, and some not children. And then on top of that, with CEF and the other things that have taken place this year, 282. I mean, those are numbers, but that's phenomenal. That is an incredible work. And I believe it's the heart of God. I believe it's the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at what John said in the first of his book there. He says, "What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, that you may have fellowship with us. And indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write so that our joy may be made complete." You see what he's saying? To John, that these believers that were in Ephesus that he was writing to, and these Gentile believers, it was important to him. And he had caught the lesson that Jesus taught, that for their joy to be complete, those people had to be there. The gospel had to be taken to them. They had to be enfolded into the body of Christ to know the fullness of the joy and the satisfaction. It was like food. It was spiritual food that fed. The disciples learned the lesson. And John effectively ministered and cared for those that came in. And he said, "You make my joy complete." And isn't it true when folks come in, it's so hard to see Johnny and Scotia leave. You know, we're glad that for what God's doing. But to lose them is like, man, you guys make us complete. And that's true with each person in the body of Christ. The fullness and the completeness of who we are is related, directly related to our life in Jesus Christ. Thirdly, a third principle. I'm sorry, I want to share this Charles Haddon Spurgeon's quote, because this focused me this week into the realities. "If there existed only one man or woman who did not love the Savior, and that person lived among the wilds of Siberia, and if it were necessary that all the millions of believers on the face of the earth should journey there and every one of them should plead with him to come to Jesus before he could be converted, it would be well worth all the zeal, labor, and expense. If we had to preach to thousands year after year and never rescued but one soul, that one soul would be full reward for all of our labor. For a soul is of countless price." I believe that we have to keep that perspective as God's people. If we want the heart of Jesus Christ, we have to have a hunger and a desire for soul winning. And Charles Haddon Spurgeon expresses it eloquently here. What does that mean to us? Does that mean that we get a bus for our children for the Awana program and to reach out to minister to them? Well, so be it. Is the expense worth it? Is the toil worth it? Is the labor worth it? I watch our Awana workers there in the evenings. They work so hard with those children, and there's discipline problems, and man, they even pull your hair out with the stuff over there. But they're patient and kind and teaching them, instructing them in God's Word. How do you measure that? How do you measure the kid that comes from our neighborhood that goes to Grace Bible Church and on to ministry and serve the Lord as opposed to going into the Mexican Mafia? How do you place a value on such things? But these are the issues. These are the things that we deal with here as God's people. And so let's keep the compassion of Jesus Christ for the spread of the gospel and not lose sight of it and the importance of it. Thirdly, behold the loving face of our Father. It's so important for us. You know, our focus has to be here in order to grow. The Lord Jesus Christ, His one of His last prayers for the disciples. And we need to behold His glory. You know, Jesus Christ came as the Word. He manifested the glory of the Father. And we see the Father's face, the Father's glory. We know God because the Word came and dwelt among us. And Jesus wasn't praying this prayer to feed His ego. But He says, "Father, I desire that they also whom Thou hast given Me be with Me where I am, in order that they may behold My glory." It was important to Jesus that you and I see His glory. "That which Thou hast given Me, for Thou didst love Me before the foundation of the world." Okay, who Jesus Christ is, beholding Him. We need to see Him. We need to behold His divine nature and His goodness to us. 2 Corinthians 4:6 says, "For God who said light shall shine out of darkness is the one who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ." The glory of God is in the face of Christ. As the hymn says, as we gaze, turn your eyes upon Jesus, the things of earth grow strangely dim, because the reality of God's dynamic and His grace within us is that knowledge of Jesus Christ is eternal life. And His knowledge of Him is what transforms us in regard to holiness, in regard to His purposes for us. Everything that involves your journey in 2007 is directly related to being transformed by the image of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, "But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as the Lord, the Spirit," God's Spirit, "takes the Lord Jesus Christ as we see His, the excellence of His moral character, His nature, we're changed. It transforms us. The purpose of our Heavenly Father is that we might be conformed into His image, be transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. What a wonderful thing that God has given to us. John Owen said this, "May we count it one of the greatest privileges that we have, both in this world and for eternity, to behold the glory of Christ." Behold Him. Behold His glory. Get to know the Lord Jesus. Jonathan Edwards said, "A view of the divine glory convinces the mind, for glory is the direct, clear, and all-conquering evidence of God, especially when it is clearly revealed, or when this supernatural perception is sharp. When we see this transcendent, supreme glory, we intuitively know that God is present." It's my prayer that in everything that we pursue this year in our journey, that divine glory will be present. That we're not taking one step, that we're not doing one thing, that the focus is not upon the glory of God, the greater glory of God. If we'll do that as God's people, I believe that He will manifest Himself in ways that will astound us. And we'll have even more things to praise Him about when we celebrate in 2008 and look back on the year 2007. Two things I want to end with here. There are two things that we would like to, two necessities for your success this year, success anytime in regard to spiritual things. And one is that we need to grow in our disciplines for prayer. I believe that God is going to work in mighty and powerful ways with us as God's people. But He wants for us to value and to understand the necessity of prayer. And so we need to focus and grow in these areas this year. And we're going to have some plans for encouraging you along those lines. And hopefully that we will continue to grow in our discipline for prayer. It was Dutch Sheets that said you can do more than pray after you have prayed. There's a lot of things that we can do service-wise, but you cannot do more than pray until you have prayed. Our first work is prayer. Prayer is striking the winning blow. Service is gathering up the results, and that's the way we need to look at it. Service flows out of prayer and out of intimacy with God, out of increasing in knowledge of Him, out of being filled. And I love that word. Filled means there's the capacity of being topped off or filled up with the knowledge of His will. And it comes from the intimacy of relationship. It comes from the work of prayer in our relationship with the Lord God. Secondly, do not become discouraged in service. This is an essential thing for God's people. There's so much work that takes place, and the disciples got tired, and you have gotten tired, and there are principles there that we need to consider and about service. Oswald Chambers says, "If we are devoted to the cause of humanity, we shall soon be crushed and brokenhearted, for we shall often meet with more ingratitude from men than we would from a dog. But if our motive is love to God, No ingratitude can hinder us from serving our fellow men. And I might go on to say, completing the will of the Father for our lives. Our journey must be focused in relation to some of these principles. As we begin out, take out for 2007, may we greatly experience God's goodness and His glory. May it be manifested in His people. Success is the presence of God's glory. Is that right? Amen to that. This is our purpose. This is our focus for the year. This is what is necessary for us as God's people. God's glory must be our priority. It must be laid before us. And it must be that which directs and motivates all that we do as God's people. Honor and majesty surround Him. Hope you're in love with the Lord. Hope you're falling deeply in love with the Lord God. There's no one like Him. Honor and majesty surround Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. Father in heaven, we're grateful.